Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, let's go back. We'll review for just 2-3 minutes what we spoke about yesterday. And Beika, what we discussed was that the Aseres HaShvatim that left Eretz Yisrael before the Churban of the first Beis HaMikdash left approximately 133 years before the Churban of the first Beis HaMikdash. And we explained yesterday, we explained that the Derech Klal, they were divided up into two different Chalakim. One Chalak was a Chalak that mingled with different nations of the world. Now exactly where they were, we said there's really no way of knowing. First, we don't know how to teach the Psukim. The Psukim say the cities they went to, we don't know the exact teach. Besides that, they didn't stay there. They wandered from there, they went other places. So it's hard to know where they are today. Although there are different places of the world that where there are people that claim to come from the Aseres HaShvatim. And yesterday we were marach a little bit about the Pathans, a little bit about the Japanese, a little bit about the American Indians, which of course is interesting for us. And more or less what we explained was is that it doesn't happen afkamina, besides the human interest of it, because it could be that these people came about because of the work of the missionaries, Christian missionaries or Muslim missionaries, when the religions first started. But beyond that, even assuming that they do come from the Aseres HaShvatim, so we showed a Gemara in Yevamos that the Gemara says that the Bezdin, the Bezdin Shri Mayhem, sort of pushed them out of Klal Yisrael. It's just on the Chiddush in the Gemara that you could do such a thing. But as I stated in the Gemara, that the Bezdin that was found at that time sent them out of Klal Yisrael. So then we explained that there is another group from the Aseres HaShvatim that we have Gemaras, Midrashim, that talk about people from the Aseres HaShvatim that are found on the other side of the Sambachin, a river called the Sambachin, the Lashon from Shabbos. And what's unique about the Sambachin is that for 6 days it throws stones up in the air, and then when it comes the seventh day it stops, it's noch. So it has to do with Shabbos. You could tell when Shabbos is. If you get to that river, you can always tell when Shabbos is, because you see that it stops. So, and we have Mekubal, we'll show a little bit more, that there are members of the Aseres HaShvatim that are found on the other side of the Sambachin. Last time we spoke about this, that the Chayra, what goes through everybody's mind is how could it be that in our day and age there is a place there are people and we don't know where they are. How could it be such a thing? Pashtas, we know where everything is today, so how could it be that there are people that we don't know where they are? And the Teretz we brought down from the Maral is Mazur Arichis and Netzach Yisrael, that's a chelik of the Gzeira. The Gzeira that was made on these people was, or on Klal Yisrael, was that we should be separated from them and they should be out on their own. And until Yemais HaMashiach, where it says in the Pasuk, Boho Oivdim Be'eretz Ashur. So when it's going to come Yemais HaMashiach, then they're going to come back. That before Yemais HaMashiach, they're not going to come back. So that goof is the Chagzeira. So the fact that we don't find them now, that we don't see them now, is not a kasha, because that's a Gzeira min HaShemayim that we shouldn't see them. The truth of the matter is that there are different svarim that deal with this shaila. Where could they be today? The other sides of this. Where is the Sambachin? Where would they be today? Rabbi Menashe ben Yisrael and his sefer Mikveh Yisrael also deals with this issue, and he also says that there are places in the world that ad hayom we don't know exactly what's going on in these places. And he uses as a raya, he says, sure everybody has heard by now that they've discovered a whole new country on the other side of the ocean. So he says, you see, they're discovering, and he lived, a little bit after the time of Columbus. So he says, you see, they keep on discovering new countries, so who knows what's found in the world. The truth of the matter is, if there are countries in Asia that ad hayom, we really don't know too much about what goes on in these countries. Tibet is a very mountainous country with very deep valleys. We don't know too much. We don't know much going on in Mongolia. They claim that there are parts in Russia, in Asia, Russia, where who knows what's Tutzach Darden in these places. Vast lands with, again, high mountains and deep valleys and other places where there are jungles. And how are you supposed to know what's going on in all these places? So although we may think that we know where everything is, perhaps it's not so poshut. And like the Maharal says, it is a davar poshut, that there's some place that for whatever the reason, we're just not noticing that that place is in existence. We're going to also discuss, as we go into the next chelik of this, that from time to time, it's happened in our history, from time to time, that there are people that came to Eretz Yisrael or came to different parts where Yidden were living, and they claimed to be members of the Aseres Hashvat. Okay, and this is, and we'll talk about this as we talk about our next topic, just the end of the subject of Aseres Hashvatim. And this is a Maisa that took place approximately 150 years ago, when there was literally an expedition that was sent out in order to find the Aseres Hashvatim. Now, it seems like a fantastic story that an expedition was sent to find the Sambachin and find Aseres Hashvatim. But the truth of the matter was, this is something that happened, and the ones that were involved with this story were the Talmidei HaGro. To be specific, Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov. And we'll go back a little bit and explain that starting about 200 years ago, a little bit over 200 years ago, there was a movement of Yidden to move to Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. We'll get more of this as we go along to explain it, but basically they were very over in the times of the Rishonim Lamashal. There are very few Yidden that lived in Eretz Yisrael. We have, when the Ramban comes to Eretz Yisrael, he talks about how few Yidden are there. We have Balei HaTosis that came. We have the Avraham ben Yishel Rambam, who had shaychus to Eretz Yisrael, but basically there were yeshuvim a little bit in Yerushalayim in the time of the Beis Yosef and the Arizal. There was a yeshuv that was started in Tzvas that lasted for a while. There were always people living afterwards in Tzvas, but it wasn't such a big yeshuv as in the time of the Beis Yosef and the Arizal. So afterwards, and after that kufa of the Beis Yosef and Arizal, so again, there weren't that many people that lived there, not that many Yidden that lived there. And the main reason we could understand that people didn't live there is because it was a very dangerous place to live. To live in Eretz Yisrael, the government in Eretz Yisrael was a weak government, no protection, very little protection. You lived amongst the Arabs, very little protection amongst the from the Arabs. So it wasn't a very safe place to live. To make parnasa in Eretz Yisrael was very difficult. So b'derech klal, people did not move there. And again, we are going to talk about this more ba'arichus in Yitzhak Hashem when we talk about why the Eden, most of Klal Yisrael, did not go back to Eretz Yisrael to build the second Beis HaMikdash. So there we will talk about the reluctance of people to move to Eretz Yisrael. Why Yidden were always reluctant to move to Eretz Yisrael. However, in the time of the Baal Shem Tov and in the time of the Goyin, there was a movement that was started to move back to Eretz Yisrael. There basically were three different groups that went to Eretz Yisrael. There was the what we call the Prushim. They were the Talmidei HaGro. And we know that the Groh himself wanted to go back to Eretz Yisrael, but for some reason he did not go, and there's many different reasons that are given, although it's not clear why the Groh didn't himself go back to Eretz Yisrael, but he also he wanted to go back to Eretz Yisrael, but again he didn't go, but his Talmidim went. And then the Baal Shem Tov, the Talmid Baal Shem Tov, moved to Eretz Yisrael. And over here also, the Baal Shem Tov himself wanted to move to Eretz Yisrael. And for whatever the reason, it's not clear, he didn't go to Eretz Yisrael, but many of his Talmidim went to Eretz Yisrael. That was the second wave of people that went up to Eretz Yisrael. And the third wave, which came a while later, was from the Talmidei Chasam Sofer. Now we're going to zero in on the Talmidei Hagro, and one of the heads of the group that went to Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov. Now this is Pashit, that amongst the reasons that they wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, and they went to Eretz Yisrael, was because they felt that it was necessary to move to Eretz Yisrael and start a yishuv in Eretz Yisrael in order to bring Mashiach. They saw the matzav in the world, in both in Gashmias, the hardships that people were going through, and also in Ruchnias. The matzav at that time, there was a tremendous decline in Ruchnias, in the Yidden that were living in the European countries, in the Swedish countries, and so they felt that it was important to try to do something to bring Mashiach, and one of the things to do would be to go to Eretz Yisrael and to start a yeshiv in Eretz Yisrael. Once they settled, they came to Eretz Yisrael, the Talmidei Hagro came to Eretz Yisrael, and they settled in the city of Tzfas. They didn't go to Yerushalayim, but they settled in Tzfas. And the reasons, there are many reasons why they didn't want to live in Yerushalayim. The one reason that we'll give is that it was very difficult to live in Yerushalayim. It was easier, the Gashmistik Matzah was better in Tzfas. And also, Tzfas, Mitzad de Mekubolim, there was a mile of living in Tzfas, Mitzad de Mekubolim, who felt that there was a mile in Tzfas. Again, we'll talk about this at a different time, more about Arichas. Ultimately, what happened was there was an earthquake in Tzfas, and they all moved to Yerushalayim. This is what we have today in Yerushalayim. If you go into the Meir Sharim section of Yerushalayim, the old section of Yerushalayim, there the originator, so to say, of that area, or in the old city of Yerushalayim, were the Talmidei Hagro, who went after the earthquake was in Tzfas, they moved to Yerushalayim. But now we're dealing with the period of time while they were living in Tzfas. Once they got there, and once they settled down, Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov decided that it's important to find the Aseres HaShvatim. Now, why did he want to find the Aseres HaShvatim? He wanted to find the Aseres HaShvatim because he held that it was crucial in the bringing of Mashiach that he find the Aseres HaShvatim, again, the ones that were living on the other side of the Sambatya. He held that it was crucial to find the Yidden that are on the other side of the Sambatyon in order to bring Mashiach. Now, we'll discuss this a little bit, why he held that way. Now, I gave you the Rambam, Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perek Dalet, Halacha Yud Aleph. The Rambam over here talks about the Halacha of Smicha, right? That there's an Inyan, that there is a such a zach of smicha, where your masmach, one chacham, who has smicha, should give over smicha to a talmid. Now, we know that after the churban of the second Beis Hamikdash, the Gemara talks of Yehuda ben Bava, who was maisa nefesh to give over smicha to Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, but ultimately the smicha was broken. And today, we don't have such a musig of a person that has smicha. The nafkamina that chaps to us is, l'mashal, we don't really have a proper bezdin, we can't be dan dine knosses, we can't be dan chayve mises. So we don't have a bezdin made up of musmochim. Now, if you look at the Rambam towards the end of Halacha Yud Aleph, the Rambam says, Because Klal Yisrael is spread out, and it's impossible that they should all come to one opinion. Now this comes at the end of a long arichus of a Rambam, with Rambam ends off at Dover Tzorich Hachro, where the Rambam says that the Rambam says nearly that it's my opinion that if all of the Chachomim that are found in Eretz Yisrael would get together, even though these Chachomim don't have smicha, if these Chachomim would get together, they could appoint one person and give that person smicha. So this would be like an exception. The Rambam says there's an exception sort of to the rule. Pashtus, the Rambam goes before, that you have to have smicha in order to give smicha. But then the Rambam says that if you have Chachomim living in Eretz Yisrael, if they all get together, they could give a person smicha, and then that person could then turn around and give everybody else smicha. Once he has smicha, because he has the roiv deis of the Chachomim in Eretz Yisrael, so then he could turn around and give everybody else smicha. Now, and the Rambam fears is v'adora tzorich hachro. This issue needs to be resolved, or needs to be thought about. This Rambam is here, the Rambam is also in the Rambam in the Perish of Mishnayis, where the Rambam proves that there has to be such a halacha. And the proof that there has to be such a halacha is because it says in the Pasuk, V'ashiva sheftecho kibar yishayna, V'yoatzecho kibatchilo, because in the Pasuk it says that there will be sheftim as there was before, and then Mashiach is going to come, and then the Pasuk says Mashiach is going to come. So the Rambam says, it says clearly in the Pasuk that Mashiach, that there will be musmachim in Eretz Yisrael before Mashiach is going to come. So either aren't musmachim in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam proved from over there, behechach, there has to be a way to give smicha to people even though you don't have a musmach, because how else could you be mekayim the pasuk? How else is Mashiach going to come? So again, Rambam proves on the pasuk that you have to have musmachim in Eretz Yisrael before Mashiach is going to come. But if we don't now today we don't have anybody who has smicha, and if the only way that a person to get smicha is by somebody who has smicha giving him smicha, so it would be impossible to have musmachim in Eretz Yisrael. So based on that, the Rambam proves that it has to be that there is such a way of getting smicha by bringing together all of the Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael, and they could give smicha to another person. That's what the Rambam Ba'arichis says in Perish of Mishnayis, and that's what he refers to over here also in the Rambam Perik Dalet Halacha Yud Aleph in Hilchus Sanhedrin. Based on this Rambam, 300 years before this story, approximately, there were Chachamim in Tzfas, the head of the Kehillah in Tzfas, whose name was Maribe Rav, who also wanted to bring Mashiach, and also understood that there were other pressures to have Musmachim at that time. There was issue, it was after the Spanish Inquisition, there were people that wanted to do tshuva, so they felt in order to do tshuva they have to have Malkus. In order to have Malkus, you have to have a Sanhedrin. So they wanted a Sanhedrin. The Maribe Rav, seeing this Rambam, said that based on this Rambam, there is a way to give smicha, bringing together Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael and being masmich somebody. And then mele, they'd be able to give, they'd be able to be dan dine knosis, and they'd be able to give Malkus also. What happened was, is the Chachamim living in Tzfas were maskim to Maribe Rav. They gave the Maribe Rav smicha because he was the gadol shebehem. They gave him smicha, and then he turned around and gave other smicha. Amongst the people that he gave smicha to was the Beis Yosef. So the Beis Yosef, the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, he had smicha from the Maribe Rav. However, this whole issue started a tremendous controversy. The head of the Kehillah in Yerushalayim, the Ralbach, was against this. And he held that that you couldn't do it. There was no raya from the Rambam. And although the Rambam in the Perish of Mishnayos says that there is a way of doing this, but he says the Rambam over here in Hilchos Sanhedrin, although the Rambam brings it down, the Rambam fiyazoyis v'hadova tzorech achro. And he learned up that the pshat in the Rambam v'hadova tzorech achro means that it's not clear. That the Rambam is not passing that there is such a halacha. It's a suffix if there's such a halacha. So how could you be noig? How could you do such a zach based on this Rambam if the Rambam himself is mesupik if such a thing is shaykh? Plus he had other tainus also that they... we will, Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, if we get to it, we'll discuss the subject more at length of exactly what the machloikis was all about. The Radvaz, in his Perish on the Rambam, when he talks about this Rambam, if you notice in the beginning of it, he says, Aloshin ze samchu chachmei tzfas, v'agodol shebehem lismach smuchim lodin dine knosos. So the Radvaz brings down that it was on this Rambam that the Chachomim that were in Tzfas based their Hanocha that you can give Smicha. And he discusses this Rambam, and he first of all says that the Rambam, the Radvaz himself was also against this issue of giving Smicha. The Radvaz came from Mitzrayim, from the Gedolim of Mitzrayim, and he was also against the giving Smicha. And also he says, one of the things that he says is that the Rambam himself is Masupik. If we look about two-thirds down in the Radvaz, so you'll notice he says also, about two-thirds down, he says, Haraya shekosav Rabbeinu beperish ha-mishnah l'dovar einu ruya lismeich oleh. He says also that one of the reasons why we can't be samech on this Rambam is because the raya that the Rambam brings, you can't be samech on the raya, and afterwards he says that this is good for why the Rambam himself was mesupik. And he says, v'zeh l'shoinik, she'im lei teimar kein, this is a quote from the Rambam in the Perish of Mishnayos, she'im lei teimar kein, he'efshe she'timotze bezen agoda lo'olam, lefi she'nistar she'yeh kolech mehem somech al koponim, so he says, and Memela, that was a Rambam's raya, that there has to be this method of giving smicha. On this, the Radvaz tainis that the Rambam's raya is not a good raya. And he gives two different reasons. He says, Umiyitain ve'eda, shaharei Eliyahu bo lifnei ha-mashiach, kimavur b'ksuvim ivdivei razal. He says, what's the raya? Maybe the way that you can have smicha is Eliyahu Hanavi is going to come, as a v'yishtetoch in Chazal that before Mashiach is going to come, Eliyahu Hanavi is going to come. V'harei hu samuch Eliyahu Hanavi has smicha v'yismach acherim lifnei boi haMashiach, and Meila he'll give smicha, and he again comes before Mashiach comes. So therefore, that's how people are going to have smicha before the coming of Mashiach. That's one taina. Again, this is an interesting subject. Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, we'll discuss this one day. We have to... The crux of the shaila is Eliyahu HaNavi a man or a malach? If he's a malach, then l'chayri he can't give smicha. If he's a man, then he can give smicha. Now, the Radvaz says further, V'su, the B'nai Ruvein, and this is the part that we're looking for, Besud the bnei Ruvein asidim lovei v'laseis mulchomais lufnei boi melech haMashiach. We know that bnei Ruvein are going to come and they're going to fear mulchama before the coming of melech haMashiach. Uman leimelon shleiyah behem somach bepi somach v'hu yitzmeich acher. So when bnei Ruvein come and they are going to wage war against the goyim, so Bnei Reuven are going, they're going to be people there who will have smicha, and they're going to give smicha to everybody itself, to everybody else. That's his second taina. And the third taina, he tainas that Mashiach, in the Medrash it says, Mashiach is going to appear, and then he's going to hide himself and reappear again. So he says, after he appears for the first time, then he's going to give smicha. When he reappears the second time, people will already have had smicha. But we're interested in this second taina, that he says that one of the ways that you could be makayim, that people should have smicha, which again is the prerequisite to the coming of Mashiach, is Ayidei de Bnei Ruvain, who are going to come Laseis Mulchomois Lifnei Bo Melech HaMashiach. So he is going to come, and he is going, and these Bnei Ruvain, they're the ones that are going to give smich. So once again, this is, we see over here in this Radvaz that they had a Mesira that before the coming of Mashiach, Bnei Ruvain, the people from the Aseres Ashvatim, are going to come, and they're going to wage war against the Goyim, and amongst them will be Musmach. He brought other rayas. He brought rayas from the Zohar that there'll be such a Zach. And if you take a look at this other sheet I gave you from Shir Ashirim, he brings over here a Meiridika Medrash. If you look on the left column, you're about 5-6 lines down. Af Arsenu, Elo Aseres Hashvatim Shegolu Lifnim Mehar Sambachin, She'asidin Golos Yehuda Ubinyamin Leilech Etzlam. So watch the Lashon over here. This refers to the Aseres Hashvatim who are on the other side of Nahar, of the river Sambachin. She'asidin Golos Yehuda Ubinyamin Leilech Etzlam Lahaviyam. The people from Golos Yehuda Ubinyamin are going to go there in order to bring them. In order that they too should be zeichet to Yemayis HaMashiach v'lechai Olam Habo, shenemar v'yom mehem yelchu beis Yehuda. So he brought a medrash that in this medrash it says mefurish that before the coming of Mashiach, Bnei Yehuda and Binyamin are going to go to bring back the Aseres Hashvatim. So he pieced this all together. We know that the Aseres Hashvatim are going to come and are going to wage war to help us out before the coming of Mashiach. We now have a medrash that says that we're going to go look for them and we're going to bring them back. He, in his letters, he writes that the Goyin, when he was mefarish the Tefillah, V'olu Mashiach Bahar Tzion Lishpait as Har Esav, who are the Mashiach? V'olu Mashiach Who are the Mashiach? So the Goyin says that the Mashiach referred to the Aseres Hashvatim. And again, he brought other references for the Zohar. So there is going to be such a Zach that the Aseres Hashvatim are going to come and they are going to wage war against the Goyin. And now the Medrash says that we are supposed to go to look for these people. So, Aibazoi, he said if we want Mashiach to come, we have to go find the people from the Aseres Hashvatim in order to bring them back to Eretz Yisrael, that we should be zeichet to Mashiach. Besides that, Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov wrote in his letters that from time to time in our past, we have traditions, we have maises, where people from the Aseres Hashvatim came, and they came to where everybody else was, and it was very obvious that they were Talmidei Chachamim and Musmachim. And he gives a few examples. One example that he gives is the story of Eldad Hadoni. Now, Eldad Hadoni was a person that arrived in Europe. He said that he came from Shevet Don, and he knows where there are, I think it was 4 Shvatim from the Aseres Hashvatim. Now, he came and he was a Talmud Chacham. He taught many different halachas. What we need to know is that Rashi quotes him, the Ravid quotes him, the Mordechai quotes him. So obviously they all held that Eldo Dadoni was legitimate. He was an emes of Talmud Chacham. At the same time, we need to know that the Eben Ezra and the Marami Rottenberg, they weren't. Eben Ezra said, you have to be careful. We don't know who he was. And Marami Rottenberg didn't want to be Seimach on his psak. And there are taka psakim that he had, which are brought down the Rishonim, and the Rishonim try to understand his psakim. So the Eben Ezra says that you can't be Seimach on him. Looks like he was suspicious that maybe he wasn't legitimate. But once again, we have Rishonim that believed that he taka came from the Aseres Hashvatim. So Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov wrote, when he wrote his letter about why he wants to find Aseres HaShvatim, he says, look, he says, Elder Dadani came, and he was made that they have Musmachim there. We all know, and I assume everybody knows, the story with the Baal Akdomas, Akdomas Milum. Yeah? I'm sure you heard it, or everybody heard it in Yeshiva. The Maisa with the Baal Akdomas was that we're talking about approximately 1,000 years ago, there was a great Tzara in Klal Yisrael, and they sent one of the Rishonim, Reb Meir Chazan, went to look for the Aseres HaShvatim, that they should come and help out Klal Yisrael. And the way I remember the story was, is that he knew he has to go to the other side of Sambatian, so he knew that there would be no way of returning from there, because the only time you can go across the Sambatian is only on Shabbos, and on Shabbos he couldn't cross it, because it was Shabbos. So he knew he was going there, he'd have to stay there, and before he went, he wrote the Akdomas. And the story goes that he sent a person from there, Rav Don, who came back and he helped out the Yidden that were living in Europe in that time. That was the Maisa. Now, what we need to know is that unless a Maisa is, we have historical proof to a Maisa, so we're not positive if the story is true. Now, I don't know if Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov was certain that the story was true. He wrote that there is such a Messiah that we have. Is it a Messiah that we have based on Gedolei Yisrael? That I don't know. I don't know. Perhaps yes. But if not, then we're not positive if the story is true. But that's one of the things that he wrote. We also know that there was once in Igeres a letter that was written to the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael, supposedly that came from the Aseres HaShvatim. And a little bit of research that I was able to do on this, it seems that there were many of the Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael that were makabel this Igeres that came. They held taka that it was an MSC Igeres. Also, from time to time, there were people that came back from the Arabian desert and Be'ika from the places in Yemen who said that they met up with people who claimed to be from Aseres HaShvatim. Again, is it true? Is it not true? Well, it's very difficult to know exactly. But that was the Maisa. The Maisa was, there were people that came back, and there are some already written on this. People came back and testified to all different kinds of stories. Now, just to show you how much it's ingrained in the understanding of Eden, that when Mashiach is going to come, or before Mashiach is going to come, the Aseres HaShvatim are going to come to help us. So I refer to a story, one of the darker periods of our history, and that has to do with the Maisa of Shapset Tzvi. And we're of course not bringing any riots from Shapset Tzvi, but in the Tkufa of Shapset Tzvi, when the whole frenzy of Shapset Tzvi was going around, that Shapset Tzvi is Mashiach, and that Mashiach is now coming, and Shapset Tzvi is Mashiach, and this went on for a while. Involved in that whole big tumult, there was a rumor that was spread at that time that there are tribes, that there are groups of people, vast armies of people that are marching towards the city, the different Arab cities, in order to take over those cities from the Goyim and ultimately to march on to Yerushalayim. Now, of course, it wasn't true. The whole thing wasn't true. The reason that it was so widespread was because there was such a tremendous excitement that was going on amongst the people that when such a rumor started, so people believed the story also. And again, of course, the story wasn't true. However, what we see from this is that it was sort of common knowledge by Eden through all of the generations that when Mashiach is going to come, Lemaisa, what's going to happen is that the Aseres HaShvatim are going to come back and they're going to help us and help us in order to do battle with the Goyim. And Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov said, well, if they're going to help us do battle with the Goyim, so let them help us also in order to get smicha, in order that Mashiach should be able to come. So here we have a Godel B'Yisrael. That's what's so fantastic about the story. You have a Godel B'Yisrael who held that finding, who held obviously they're there, They're on the other side of the Sambachan. We just don't know where it is. We have to go look for them, and the Medrash tells us that ultimately we're going to find them, and it's very important that we find them, because in order for Mashiach to be able to come, we first of all need them to help us with to do battle, and also we need them in order for them to give us smicha. And we need mismachim, like the Rambam proves, we need mismachim in Yerushalayim. We can't do it the way the Maribe Rav wanted to do it, because the Bederach Chlal, everybody was against it, and it became bottle. And so the only Eitzah that we have left, there's an Eitzah with Eliyahu HaNavi, but one of the Eitzahs that we have is that the Aseres HaShvatim should do it, and therefore he sent a delegation to look for the Aseres HaShvatim. Okay, so this is clear. So this is how the story goes of this delegation that went in order to find Aseres HaShvatim. And the Maisa goes like this. It's a fantastic tragic story of exactly what happened with this Maisa of this delegation that went. And the Maisa goes like this. They needed somebody who was a traveler, who was a talented person, a person gets around. He had physical kaiches, he was a fager kind of a person. He could mingle, you know, he can go amongst the Arabs, speak their language, find his way around, somebody that they could trust. They looked for a while till they found such a person. And the person they found was a person whose name was Rav Baruch Mipinsk. Came from the city of Pinsk. They wanted to send together with him representatives of the other yeshuvim in Eretz Yisrael, representatives perhaps from the Talmidei Baal Shem or from Talmidei Baal Shem, but they were not prepared to go. So the decision was made to send him, that he would be the only delegation that would go. He was told, he was given 3 years to go on the expedition, and he was told one thing: don't get sidetracked from your mission. Your mission is to find Aseres HaShvatim, try not to get sidetracked. The way we have it more or less is that he went from Eretz Yisrael, he went down to Egypt, and from there he went into Saudi Arabia, and then he turned south and went down towards Yemen. And he traveled, again, as I mentioned to you, when you're talking about that area, so you see it on the map, right? If you go to the right of Eretz Yisrael, on the bottom there you have Egypt, and then you turn right, and you go into Saudi Arabia, and then you turn down, go south towards Yemen. And it seems that they had such a feeling, or a messiah of some kind, that ultimately they would find the Aseres HaShvatim. Hopefully they would find the Aseres HaShvatim. Now, he traveled on for days and days and days and days. In fact, he traveled on for months. Wasn't able to find anybody. He came to a certain city, and when he got to that city, there was Yidden that were living in that city. He asked if anybody knows of, there are very strange people living here, Jews that are living here, people we don't know who they are. So they told him that there are rumors, the Rabbonim, they told him there are rumors that in this area, if you travel so many days in this direction, so there are people that are kind of suspicious, perhaps they are. And he was prepared to continue on to his journey. While he was there in that town, he heard that the king, I don't know if it's the king, what you call him, the sultan, or the head of the tribe that was there in that area, had a certain disease. This Rav Baruch was, as I mentioned, he was a talented person, he was a doctor on the side, and he knew that he'd be able to heal this king. So he told over to this Rav, he says, if maybe one day we'll need the help of the king, so perhaps I should go and heal him. And what do you advise me? He says, I advise you, don't get involved, because I'm afraid that somehow you're going to get sidetracked, something's going to happen, just don't get involved. He said, you know, you're right. And so they left that town. The way the story goes is that that Rav that he met offered to go along with him. This whole delegation now traveled east looking for the Aseres HaShvat. And they plodded along for days and weeks going through the desert. They weren't able to find anybody. One day, as they were traveling, this Reboruch saw a scorpion, met up with a scorpion, and the scorpion, a huge scorpion, and the scorpion took a bite out of his foot. A poisonous scorpion took a bite out of his foot. And he knew right away that his life was in danger, that he has to do something in order to stop the poison from spreading. He didn't see that he has an Eitzah until he saw in the distance that there was a sheep wandering near an oasis. He went in that direction. He killed the sheep, and somehow he took the intestines of the sheep and wrapped it around his foot to put his foot into it. Well, somehow or another, by using this whole process, he was able to prevent the poison from going through his body and was able to save his life. Where the sheep came from, he did not know. After his foot healed, they continued on the travels, and eventually they met up with a person. He was a very tall person, a shepherd. And he asked him, did you see a sheep of mine that was lost? Did you by any chance see it? So Rabbah said, yeah, I did see it. And he explained to the person the story that happened, that he needed it in order to save his life. Well, this man was very upset. As Rabbah, he says, it's my sheep. Would he have right to take away my sheep? And what you did was basically you stole from me. And Rabbah got into a whole conversation with him that he knows it was wrong, but he had no choice because he had to do it in order to save his life. And in the conversation, the shepherd asked Baruch, where do you come from? And he told him that he comes from Eretz Yisrael and that he's a Jew. So the shepherd turned to him and said that he's also a Jew. And more or less the conversation came to that this shepherd told him that he comes from the Aseres HaShvatim, from tribes of people that are the Aseres HaShvatim. And so Rebbe Baruch turned to him and said, you're the one that I'm looking for. And he took out the letters that he had from Rebbe Yisroel Mishklov, showed him the letters, and said, you see, these are the Rabbonim that sent me to look for you. This is the reason that we're looking to find you. And please take me back to where the Aseres HaShvatim are, so that I could try to convince them that they should come with me back to Eretz Yisrael. The shepherd told him, he says, I'm not at liberty to take you to where my people are, but what I will do is, I'll take from you the letter, and I'll bring it to them, and if they're masking, if the heads of the Aseres HaShvatim are masking to meet with you, so then I'll mask him, so then they'll come back and they'll send me as a shliach, and we'll arrange that you should be able to meet with them. They made up that he's going to wait by this oasis until the shepherd is going to come back, and the shepherd turned around and left with the understanding that he's going to try to convince the people from there to come back. This Baruch waited there by this oasis 1 week, 2 weeks, a couple of weeks. He didn't return, and it was getting before Rosh Hashanah. He wanted to go back to where the Yidden were. He needed a shofar. So he decided that he's going to turn around and go back to the city where this Rav came from, together with this Rav, go back to the city where this Rav came from. And he'll wait for the shepherd over there, or after Rosh Hashanah, perhaps he would return to this spot. But in the meantime, he wasn't going to remain there. He went back, and he went back to the city, prior to Rosh Hashanah. And once again, he heard about how this king and his family were very, very sick, and that there was nobody that was able to save them. As we mentioned before, Rav Baruch knew that he was able to save them. The Rav advised him against it. But here he was again. And now he's waiting. He already made the contact, and he's waiting for this person to come back. So he went over to the Rav and said to the Rav, what do you think? Perhaps now I should help out this king. Why not? He said, the Rav told him, do whatever you think is right. So Reb Baruch went, and he healed. He went to this king, told him that he knows how to heal him. He healed the king. He healed all of the members of the family. And he was, and because of what he did, they were Meridik Makatoif to him. They brought him in, they sat him down, and after talking to him, they realized that this Reb Baruch was a very, very bright man. And the king started using him as an advisor, started using him as a politician, you know, how to deal with people from different tribes. He got involved in different military tactics that were needed. He was a very bright person. And he became one of the king's main advisors. Well, what happens very often in such situations is that the other ministers of the king became very jealous. And they said, they realized that this Jew is taking over a prominent position. So they went to the king and they told the king that he acts like your friend. He's just waiting for the opportunity to be able to take away the Ganze Malchus from you. That's what he's up to. The king at first didn't believe it, but they pressed him, and after a while he did believe it. And the king was convinced that this Reb Baruch was out to get him, and he was convinced that he has to find a way to kill Reb Baruch before Reb Baruch is going to kill him. The way the story goes is one time they were out together. The king invited him, so to say, to go with him on a hunting expedition. They went on a hunting expedition, and when Reb Baruch's back was turned, the king went and he stabbed Reb Baruch in the back and killed him. Before Reb Baruch died, he turned to the king and he said, "What did you do this to me for? I only came to help you. I only helped you. So why did you do such a thing to me?" So Reb Baruch, and then Reb Baruch died. The king felt very bad. He went back to his house, and that night he couldn't sleep because the thought of what Reb Baruch told him, "Why did you do this to me?" was haunting him in his sleep. He didn't know what to do with his body. What's he going to do with his body? So his soldiers, the ones who were with him, they told him, his advisors told him, "Listen, he died in the middle of the woods, so leave him there. And ultimately what's going to happen is you know, the animals are going to come and the vultures are going to come and they're going to eat him up and there'll be no trace of him. So nobody will know what happened to him." Kachava left him there for a few days. After a few days, the king again goes wandering into the woods on another expedition, and he finds Reb Baruch's body whole, the way he left it. No animal would attack it. It didn't rot at all. So the king now realized more than ever that this was the body of a person that was a big tzaddik. You see that he's nothing is happening to him. So he didn't know what to do. The advisors told him, "Well, take his body, chop it up into pieces, and mix it together with animal pieces, and that way animals surely will eat it up." And that's what he did. And that also didn't help. So now the king knew that he was in deep trouble, because this man obviously was an outstanding person. He called together the Eden, and he told them over the story that happened. He didn't tell them the particulars. He said, "I was on an expedition with this Reb Baruch. He died. Take him and bury him, and don't ask too many questions." And that's what happened. The Eden went, they took Reb Baruch, and they buried him. The end of the story goes is that this king, ultimately, his kingdom fell apart. He didn't have who to help him and shine. What's negeya to our story is that it was a couple of days later that in this town, a tall shepherd came. And he rode into the town and he asked that he wants to see, he's looking for this Reb Baruch Mipinsk. Does anybody know where he is? So they told him over that the story is this Reb Baruch Mipinsk somehow died, he was killed, and there's no way, of course, that you can meet anybody. This tall shepherd got back up on his camel or whatever he was riding, turned around and went back into the desert and was never heard from again. And that's the end of the story. There was people who wanted to revive this whole issue when they came back. So you see, Taka, that it is possible to find the Aseres HaShvatim. So maybe we should send another expedition to find the Aseres HaShvatim. But a decision was made not to do it. It seems that they felt there was a Simen Min HaShemayim, Taka, that it's not the thing for us to do. And we, Taka, have to bring Mashiach. And we have to do all that we can do in order to bring Mashiach. But the way for us to bring Mashiach is through Kiyum HaMitzvahs, Liyum HaTorah, davening for Mashiach 3 times a day. That's the way we bring Mashiach. But this process of sending delegations to look for the Aseres HaShvatim, the issue of what's going to be with the Smicha, so whatever it is, it'll work itself out. Somehow or another, we'll be able to, it'll work itself out exactly how we're going to have Smicha. But to work on such a mahalach, to go look for the people on the other side of the Sambachin, that's not something that is our responsibility to do. Not only that, but it looks like it's even something that's dangerous to do. And so from that point on, that whole method, so to say, was dropped and it never came up again. So, once again, we started off by saying that the Aseres HaShvatim, if we talk about the impact, so to say, that the Aseres HaShvatim have had and have on world history, at least as far as we're able to see, so what we're saying more or less is that there is no apparent impact on an ongoing world history, because the chelik of the Aseres HaShvatim, the one chelik of the Aseres HaShvatim that became, that lived between the goyim, they became like the goyim. And the chelik that's on the other side of the Sambachin, so they're hidden away from everybody else. Nobody knows where they are. Arayim, till today nobody knows where they are. And it would seem that until we come to the days before Mashiach, Taka, we're also not going to find these people on the Aseres, from the Aseres HaShvatim. And Memela, the people from the Aseres HaShvatim are not on an ongoing basis intertwined with what went on, what goes on in world history. What we're going to learn the next time Yetz Hashem is we're going to Golus Yehuda, and there we're going to see, Taka, how Golus Yehuda had a bigger hashpah on what continuously went on in the history of the world.